You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
Their life is change. Like, they're not, like, they don't adapt to change or, you know, as previous generations. Change is part of their life, and they just accept it, and it is what it is.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Baum, Director of Member Experience at DevOps Institute, and this is the Humans of DevOps podcast. Welcome back. Hope you had a great week. So perhaps you've noticed, we happen to be in the middle of a huge generational shift in the workforce. Perhaps you hadn't noticed. It really started while we were all hyper-focused on the pandemic for the past couple years. We're going to talk Zoomers today. Gen Z. The kids who were born between, depending on who you ask, 1995-97 through 2010-2012. Well, they're not kids anymore. In fact, they're in the workforce already. They're defined by their value-driven approach to their careers and job prospects. And by 2025, Forbes estimates Gen Z workers will make up close to 30% of the workforce. I know. I'm shocked too. Here are some survey results recently published in Forbes. 90% of Gen Z workers desire and value a human connection when it comes to their at-work communication. When it comes to hybrid, 3 out of 4 Gen Zers favor it, looking for more opportunities to work face-to-face with their colleagues. 58% of Gen Z workers are willing to work nights and weekends if that means getting a higher salary. 67% expressed their willingness to relocate for a job opportunity. As the most diverse generation to date, Gen Z is reshaping the workforce in their own image. They are definitely not the millennials. They are definitely not Gen X. And they are certainly not the boomers. Here to talk about this with us today is Jennifer Servideo, Chief Information Officer at Susquehanna University. Jen is a visionary and strategic technology leader with more than 22 years in higher education. She has a strong record of success leading teams through complex technology solutions, streamlining operations, and driving innovation. Her coaching leadership style builds strong, sustainable teams that thrive while promoting a diverse culture of excellence. And Jen is our guest, and Jen is here. And Jen, thank you so much for being on the Humans of DevOps podcast.
Thank you, Jason. I'm happy to be here.
So are you ready to get human?
Of course I am.
Excellent. I think I will be too. All right. So yeah, that was a big intro that I kind of read there. And I've got to say, I've been dying to do this episode because I mean, it kind of crept up on me too. And it just seems like out of nowhere, Gen Z, who we were talking about, okay, in 10 years, this is what they're going to be into. Well, 10 years is like here, and they're in the workforce, and we need to change some things. So I am so excited to have this conversation with you. So who is Gen Z? How are they wired? And what is it that makes them different?
So my experience with the Zoomers, I like that, Gen Z, you know, they've been through a lot, right? They have been, like you said, depending on who is telling you that when they were, the range they were born in, you know, 9/11, the recession in 2008, gun violence, right? They've been through a tremendous amount of trauma. Social media influence is beyond belief. And then the pandemic, the lockdown in 2020, when they're entering the workforce, right? So here they are. That's something that I've been seeing lately where I sit is a lot of these people who they were getting ready to enter the workforce, they had minimal opportunity. A lot of them went back to school to continue their education remotely that way. And now, you're dealing with people who are finishing up master's degrees online, and they haven't been in the workforce yet, and they're still unsure what they want to do. It's a strange time. But the ones that I do know who are working, the students who I deal with day in and day out, they are driven. They know what they want, right? The pandemic has sort of thrown the last group of them for a loop, which is really sad. But they will negotiate their way into what they want. They want a clear path, right? Work-life balance, it's a flip for them. It's life-work balance. They know when they want to, they want a flexible work schedule. They want it all, basically. And I can't blame them. Who wouldn't, right? They've seen their parents work through jobs where they're just completely burned out all the time. And now that they see, you know, I'm gonna tell people what I want out of my career, and I'm gonna get it. And honestly, if I'm not continually looking at a clear path for progression for my people, they're out the door, because there's a clear path somewhere else. So
yeah, they're passionate.
They really are.
But they also mean it. They back it up. I think to me that's like such a huge difference. I think many group millennials, and they see Gen Z coming in, they're like, oh, they're going to be like the next millennials. And not to lump everybody, look, these are all hasty generalizations, right? Okay, I'm a comm major. And that's like a bad thing, right? We're not right. supposed to do that. And yet when we talk about generations, this is exactly what we're doing. Everybody mm-hmm. fits this box. So that, I'll preface it with that. But that being said, I'm going to put everybody into a box. Millennials are opinionated, but then when it comes time to actually back up those opinions, not the best, not always as committed. But then you have Gen Z coming in, and man, they're bold. They will call you out. They really believe it, and they believe it so much. Like you said, they'll leave their job based on principle.
Yes. Yes. And their life is change. Like they're not like, they don't adapt to change, or, you know, as previous generations, change is part of their life and they just accept it. And it is what it is. So
why do you think that is?
I think it's because they know that they have a lot to offer, right? So staying in the same place, you know, growing up, living near your parents, staying there, and that kind of, I would call it Gen X guilt. That's something that a lot of my siblings have. I was quite the opposite. I think I was born to be a Gen Z, but I was born way early. I just think that they've seen so much in their lives, right? And they've been exposed to so much. And I think that their parents actually didn't want them to grow up with the struggles they had, right? They don't need to work, 24 hours a day and put their job first, right? It's flipped with them. It's not work-life balance. It's life-work balance. I mentioned it before. They want it all, and I applaud them for it.
Yeah.
And they're advocates, right?
They're
advocates.
Yeah. I mean, you touched on something that I didn't even realize. Like, it didn't even dawn on me. We talked 9/11, and I don't know, because I mean we kind of gave out the ranges, and it always differs depending on where you look it up, right? Same with, I mean, all the generations, right? I've seen Gen X starting anywhere from 77 to 86, 85. So it depends on where you kind of believe, or ending, I mean, 85. But for Gen Z, 9/11, I don't know how much 9/11 maybe played a role in their lives. I think they were very young, certainly maybe seeing their older siblings or parents or whomever being impacted by it, maybe. But gun violence, oh man, I didn't even think of that one, and shame on me. I mean, I can pinpoint in my school years one. And it was Columbine, and it was when I was really sort of on my way out of school, which in some ways made it scary because it was the same age group, but I don't think it had nearly, I didn't grow up in a world with gun drills, the active shooter drills and all that stuff that they are growing up with now. I can imagine. And I wonder how that plays.
Right. I mean that actually, as it gets more and more prevalent, I mean, most recently in the news, students wanting to go to school online, they don't even want to put themselves in that situation. So
What are some major characteristics you've seen in Gen Z students that you feel like, and again, we're lumping them all into one category, right? But what are some of the major characteristics that you notice?
innovative, right? I work in technology, so a lot of the students that I'm exposed to are fit the IT profile, right? But they're not the introverted revenge of the nerd. It's not that profile anymore. They're really creative. They know who they are. They're very individual. They know they have a sense of who they are, their worth, right? One of the things I do notice is that when they graduate, they have an expectation for what their worth is, and entry level's not it. So it's kind of, that's a struggle for hiring managers as well as the person you're interviewing, because they're negotiators, right? They know, they have strong beliefs. They have a real strong belief system in their values, and that's how they live. And it's like I said, I commend them, because a lot of the struggles, right, through the pandemic, everybody is online, everybody's in social media, and cyberbullying. Like, you wouldn't think it would happen at the college age. You wouldn't think that people, once they leave their high schools, would have time or ambition to do anything like that. Those kind of things exist, and yeah, it's a crazy world that they live in. But like I said, they hold true to their values. They hold true to their identity. They're advocates for everyone, right? To see the people out at sit-ins and different things that we see on campuses, and protests that you see on the news, these are the people that are out there. And when you talk about, they're stubborn, they're very stubborn. So this is something, so if I have a multi-generational workforce, and they hold true to what, like, they'll argue until you can't argue anymore and you have to walk away, because they hold true to their values.
Is that
And
good
I'm
or
sorry, I mean, it
bad?
can be good and it can be bad. If you
Yeah.
get in the way in the workplace, I
Yes.
can tell you that. But and it's teaching people from different generations to work on teams together, right? Understanding what their strengths are, that they can learn from each other. But a lot of Zoomers are kind of bullheaded, I would have to say. They have to be right. So
With Gen Z, so and as you're talking, I'm thinking, wow, that's another comparison with millennials, right? Millennials, I feel like when they came into the workforce, and this happens, I feel like no matter what generation it is, they're like, oh, they want everything for nothing. They're coming in, they're going to be lazy,
so
and they still
entitled.
want it all. Yeah, entitled. They want the title without doing the work. Well, Gen Z is like the opposite. Gen Z is like coming in and they're like, give me the work. Give me the work. I want to do it. They want the title, but they want to do the work to get to the title. And they're willing to, like I read in the beginning, almost 60% said they're willing to work nights and weekends. I don't think that was definitely not the millennials. 67% said they're willing to relocate for a job opportunity. Definitely not the millennials. So yeah, they're convicted, but they like you keep saying, they stand by it. They mean it.
They want opportunity. They want, and I think it's embedded in them from their parents. Their parents wanted them to have the things they didn't have. And I mean, this is the group of the group that started the helicopter parents and the lawnmower parents, right? The parents standing behind them when they're going to college, sort of telling them. And it's like, I know, mom, right? Leave me alone, mom. I'm in college now. They know. And I think that scared their parents, right? I think that scared them a lot. But now they're productive people in the workforce and they're really changing things.
Yeah, I don't know. As a I define myself as a Xennial. Look it up if you're not sure. It's in the Oxford Dictionary, so it's a real thing. It's a real thing, I swear. Those born in between the Gen X and Millennial, because it is different. If you're born in the 80s, especially the early 80s, and those born in the 90s, I do not see how they can compare. Analog past, digital present, and future. So I think that the difference is there, right? With Xennials, when I look at it too, is are I look at it as the last generation of that old guard, where the latchkey kids. That's how I view. That's how I view us. We were raised by the television. We were sorry, Mom. We were raised by the television. We were out after school. No one knew where the hell we were, and they couldn't contact us. That was a great thing. There were no cell phones, so I mean, very few people had them, and they were the Zach Morris phone, and no one could reach you. So when you called home, you called collect, and you did the. Do you remember the commercial, the Bob, we had a baby, it's a boy? Do you remember that commercial? It's still so funny, because you call collect, you get that thing in before when you record the prompt who it is, and then you hang that up before they get charged, or Mom's gonna really get mad for the collect call. It's a different world. And yeah, so I think growing up, that it is so different than how your parents raised you, and then how you go in about, right, the rest of your life. It's fascinating. So, how have you seen over the past few years that transition? Your students transitioning to student staff and then to the professional world. How are Gen Zers handling that transition? What's changing about them as they handle that transition? Because look, you could be one way as a student and say whatever you want, and then when you transition to that professional world, things change regardless of the generation.
Yes, they do. So, thinking about students in the classroom, right? They are, I mentioned before, negotiators, right? They negotiate their grades with their professors. They get what they want out of their their work. They will argue until they're blue with what they think it will be. And that carries over into the workforce a bit. They want constant feedback. So whereas a manager would have a one-on-one meeting with an employee maybe once every 2 weeks, Zoomers are always like, how did I do? How did that go? Was that good? Do I It's like, well, we don't have anything to talk about when we have our meetings because you're always here asking me. But it's a good thing because they don't want to miss out on anything, right? And it can be exhausting, but you just it's something you learn to as a manager to adapt to. But when they hear about something, whether they're qualified for it or not, they want to go for it. And that could get really frustrating in for other people in the workforce. I think that coworkers have to learn how to adapt to Generation Z, but they do, right? Because they see value in them. They're good people, right? They're family driven. They want that collaborative sort of, I spend more time at the office than I do at home, so I kind of want to have friends at work, that kind of group. They like to do things together. They like to they travel in packs. Something I read that Gen Zers prefer to work for millennials. So,
Interesting. Why
yeah,
would
I thought that was neat. I don't know, maybe because like you were talking about millennials a little bit, how They kind of, maybe they can be manipulated. That's what I was thinking. Maybe they're a
Because they
little
don't
bit
stand by
pushy,
their values.
right?
They're,
Right?
yeah.
Maybe,
Well, they could be
maybe.
shaped, certainly.
Yeah, it's true.
I
It's
think
true.
they're willing to, though. I think that's the, we could rephrase. I think millennials, and we'll probably get into this, I know, in the direction I want to go with our next few questions, but I think millennials are maybe more open than some of the other generations, perhaps, to
Right.
adapt and change to the beliefs of that Gen Z is saying and convicted in.
Right, because previous generation bosses, like, I'm a Gen Xer, but I would say that I'm much more open-minded than a lot of people in my age group for managing. I like to be more of a coach, and I actually do have I am a certified Gallup strengths coach, which I use with my team to understand what their true innate strengths are and help push them in those directions. And honestly, when I think about it, my Gen Zers are the ones who really, really like absorb that stuff. They really want to hear more. Tell me more about my strengths and how I can be even better.
It's interesting because now you bring it up. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, when the millennials were coming into the workforce, the Zennials and millennials, and they had an article about how they get along better with members of the greatest generation than they do with the others that were definitely not Gen X. Interesting. And certainly not with Boomers, because they reminded them of their parents, I think. That's my guess. But I always thought that was fascinating too. And I think that still stands true. I don't know. And we could talk about this, I guess, in a bit, but well, I'm thinking about it, why not? I told you that we're gonna go all over sometimes on this show. Just stay with it and you'll have fun. Boomers. Now that I bring them up. That's a convicted group, like in their strong feelings. Certainly, their past of protest and histories. There's nothing new in history, right? it's the past is always going to repeat itself, and I feel like in some ways we're kind of getting the newest generation of the boomers in some ways when they were kids. Now you look at the boomers now, and I'll say, wow, how did and I won't say any names, but my parents, those who I know who are of the boomer generation and went from pot smoking hippies in the 60s, who listened to music that their parents did not approve of, to very hardline conservatives, and have much more conservative values, I would say, than some of these younger generations. Wow, that's an about face. And I think about, like, wow, are we just a product of where we are in our life from a time perspective, or like, are these gener or generations, like, are they going to maintain these beliefs?
That's a really good thought. I mean, I would hope that things are going to continue to move forward with being advocates, supporting diversity, growing. I just some place, like I live in central Pennsylvania right now, and sometimes, I come across people and it's like, how have you even been here this long, like with those thoughts? It sort of brings you back into reality. You're like, wow. I would hope that will continue with our Gen Zers now having children and creating a population of good human beings who will continue those values. I hope that that's going on. I mean, you talked about boomers. Boomers' parents were, that was like the silent generation, right? You didn't hug your kids or say you loved them because that's, you weren't supposed to, because they wouldn't be good people if you did that.
Kids
It's
should be
crazy when you,
seen, not heard.
yes,
Yes.
when you, you know, I was right on the tail end of that. I was the youngest of six. Well, I am the youngest of six, but it was like I was the one with the mouth, and it's because I was, right at the beginning of that next generation. And Kids are seen and not heard, and oh boy, yeah, we need to forget that ever happened.
Yeah, those are my grandparents, man. And I love my grandparents to death, but it's the product of the times a little
It
bit, right?
absolutely is. It
Yeah.
absolutely is. And you know what's really funny? I hear lots of people always blame the schools, right? Oh, all the kids are like that because that's what they're teaching them in school. And yeah, and it's like, well, it has to come from multiple places, right? They're teaching them to be good humans at home and in school and enforcing that throughout their lives. But yeah, I just it's a unique generation. I enjoy working with this generation of new employees. I think that they're like in technology, I can hire someone entry level who has an associate's degree or something who can do, they get the tech, right? They get it. They've always had technology. They've never gone a day in their life without a screen in front of them. And they get it. The only thing I have to teach them is how to do things the way we do it here.
The tools we use as a team have a direct influence on how we work together and the success we create. We built Range with that in mind. By balancing asynchronous check-ins and real-time collaboration, Range helps remote and hybrid dev teams build alignment and put time back on the calendar. Range connects dozens of apps like Jira and GitHub in one place so everyone can share updates on work, and even makes it easier to run focused, efficient meetings with an easy-to-use facilitation tool. Create greater team success and engagement by bringing focus and a bit of fun back to your work. Visit userange.com/devops to learn more and try Range free.
And they thrive. It's just amazing.
Isn't it fascinating? And my wife and I just literally had this conversation with friends. There's have you heard of the wait till they're eight movement?
No.
So it's new, so for alpha. Wait till they're eight. It's wait to give them a cell phone until they're eight. That boggles my mind, first of all, first of all, like
Cell
that they
phone at
have cell phones
eight.
prior to eight, because I didn't have one until college. I mean, wow. And then we were talking about like we have an iPad. You leave that out. My daughter she's 4 and a half. She can scroll through and get to YouTube and pull up her favorite videos on her own just because it was there. Yeah, they are, and no one taught her to do that, by the way. Like they just know.
Yeah, they do. It's scary. It's scary,
Yes.
but just think of the opportunity, right? And
Oh yeah.
they're addicted to devices. We have to plan on every student that walks through the door to have at least five devices that will be connected to our wireless network all the time.
Oh wow. So going back to where we were a little bit before and some of those values and what they're being taught, and certainly, we've touched on some of them because I do believe the tech industry, ironically to me, is really on the forefront of the change that's happening in the workforce with things like psychological safety, workplace culture issues. Really getting to the heart of it because look, it's been bad for a while. The burnout and all the and burnout's still a problem. But at least it's being identified, it's being called out. It's not like the culture of, when like with Zuckerberg starting Facebook and we're gonna put a ping pong table, a basketball court, a spa, whatever in here, but you gotta work here like you're pretty much here all day. That thankfully that's not as much of the culture anymore. And then obviously diversity and inclusion. And with Gen Z, I'm wondering how do they approach diversity, equity, and inclusion? And what impact do you think they'll have on the rest of the workforce?
So just like technology is something that has always been available, this generation does not know the bias that previous generations have encountered and have grown up knowing. And I think that it causes, I don't want to say it causes conflict in the workplace, but people walk away feeling, I think different generations walk away feeling like they are, you know, racists. And it's like they take it to that extreme. And it's like, wait a minute, no, just step back.
Cancel culture.
Right. Something that I do absolutely is create a culture where people can respect each other's opinions. And, you know, it could be there could be learning moments. Something that we try to do as a team is I let different people pick TED Talks and things around diversity, and we'll watch them as a group and we'll talk about them as a group, which I think is helpful because then they can see differences of opinion and sort of have, you know, sit in it with each other. Let's have empathy and let's see where people are coming from and talk through, you know, why would you feel that way? Because a lot of times when you ask those questions, well, why do you feel that way? People don't know. And that tells me, you know, that makes them second guess. Wait a minute, this is something that I've just always thought growing up, and I have no, you know, nothing concrete to put against it. I think that it helps other generations grow, their commitment to diversity, you know, their commitment to inclusion, their commitment to make sure that the right people are in the room when the conversations are happening, to make sure that everybody's represented. I think that's wonderful. Where I sit, I really enjoy that people are looking out for that I'm not the only one. You know, this generation questions authority. That's something that I think about a lot, right? When you think getting pulled over, right? If you're speeding and it's okay, here's my, you know, I could remember like being in the age group and being terrified, like, oh my God, here's my license registration. I'm not going to say a word, you know. Imagine somebody being afraid they're getting pulled over, that they're going to be harassed for the color of their skin or something like that. Like just having those conversations with these different generations is so important, just for growth, because, you know, these are kids, our Gen Zs who are having kids, you don't want their kids exposed to grandparents who have values very different from what they have, right? Going into different situations where they could be exposed, and then, you know, them questioning things as a little kid, and then, you know, I don't know. It seems like things could be so much better. And I think this generation's actually going to do it.
You think so? I hope so.
I have a lot of hope. I have a lot of hope. I'm around a lot of people in this age group all the time. Mm-hmm. And I walk away feeling like, wow, they get it, right?
I thought it was going to be millennials. I really did. But you know what? It goes back to what we were saying about millennials. You know, there's all.
Hey. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Hey, my generation, we used to eat glue in kindergarten, and look at me.
Yeah. Well, I think ours. Well, I won't even get into it.
I don't know what it is, Jason. You just bring this out in me.
I have that habit. Yeah, I said it in the beginning of the podcast, I gave that, you know, they are the most racially and ethnically diverse generation in U.S. history. So mm-hmm. certainly their makeup is different and like actually different. And so I'm going to go back to that Forbes survey, and maybe this will be surprising to you. Maybe it won't be. But according to them, 67% of Gen Z workers reported having witnessed discrimination or bias based on race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or gender identity in a workplace setting. 44% of them report having personally experienced it. They also say in this that 69% stated that they would absolutely be more likely to apply to a job at a company that emphasized a racially and ethnically diverse workplace in the recruitment materials. 70%. 88% of them felt that a recruiter or potential employer should solicit their gender pronouns. 88. I mean, that's these numbers. I mean, they're in almost 100% agreement. And then they said that 65% reported feeling strongly that such questions about gender pronouns should be part of the recruitment process. But despite their expectations, only 18% said that they were asked about their gender pronouns by a recruiter. So we do not get this generation.
No, no.
We're not there yet.
No.
They're there. And they're like all there, mm-hmm. pretty much. And we are way behind them, mm-hmm. clearly.
What those statistics tell me is that they're very, they're mindful of other people. They value the human connection, right? I want to know what your pronouns are because I don't want to misspeak and hurt your feelings. And I see that all the time on a college campus.
Much more empathetic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They definitely feel for people and they're there for people. They back them up. I like that.
You know, coming into the workforce is always, it's always a transit. It's a huge transition, right? You know, going from pretty much a life of being in school. In school your whole life. To now, it's very different in the workforce. It's like a whole new jungle, right? And a new set of rules. And also now things that are happening, the socioeconomical things that are taking place impact you a lot more. You're moving out possibly around that time. You're not leaning on your parents nearly as much anymore. So yeah, the weight of the world is now on your shoulders. And so things that are going on make a big impact. So like for myself, I could say, you know, coming into the workforce, it was we were pretty much in the beginnings of the Second Gulf War. And I know shortly thereafter, people were coming in 2008. It was an economic, it just the complete collapse and recession of the economy. And, you know, the worst one we've had since the Great Depression. And that shaped a lot of people. For Gen Z, who's coming into the workforce right now, they've never been in an office. No Gen Zers. If you go by the age bracket I was talking about, that means they're probably around 22, 23, depends on how you ask them. They've never been in an office then. Or perhaps some have if they're going to an office that never went remote, but a good chunk never stepped foot in an office. And now they're being asked to go back. I read you that stat on hybrid. They want to go back. I can imagine why. So certainly this is a different transition for them, I think, than any of the others. So with that said, what type of successes or struggles have you seen with this age group dealing with that?
So when we did go remote, everyone, there was always the misconception that jobs can't be done remote. Jobs in IT cannot be done remote. Well, unless you're physically having to touch a piece of hardware for someone, your job certainly can be remote at least part of the time. This generation showed us that they know how to work remotely, right? They know how to be productive in a remote setting. Do they want to be isolated? They don't, right? Not all of them. I can't speak for all of them. I do have a person who's working for me now who the position is a remote position. And they said, you know what? I want to come in a few days a week. Okay, so that's great. They love being part of the team, being here. And now just purchased a home in the area and will be here full time, can actually walk to the office. So it's, you know, but then you have people who want to be fully remote. And it just depends on what they're used to. I would say people who live in rural areas do not want to work remote. They want to be with people. People in more, urban settings can work in a remote situation and then walk out their door and be near people. So it just depends on what the work is and who it is. I do know that a lot of people in different generations think they can work remote, but they really don't know how to. So this is really the first generation that knows how to work remotely, because that's been their whole
in many life. Ways they've been preparing for this their whole lives.
They have, right?
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I think that's that's something that speaks to the type of people they are, because they want to be there. They want the opportunity, right? You're going to miss the opportunity if you're not there. And I think they also want to connect. They really do want to connect. Their life is networking, whether it's on their mobile device or in person. They do know how to connect with people.
Gosh, I can think back to coming into the workforce and just the nuances that you pick up, the office, the workplace culture, the office culture. going to the lunchroom and watching TV with your colleagues, going out to lunch with your colleagues. You know, there's so many things that, you know, earlier in your career, I mean, someone once told me, a recruiter told me this, the majority of people don't get their jobs by applying to them. They get them from people that they already knew. It's through mm-hmm. connections, right? So relationship building. So in some ways, Gen Z should be prepared to do this because they enjoy it. But in other ways, maybe I shouldn't. Based on our conversation, I kind of feel better than I did before about Gen Z with this, because I was worried about them. Because I'm like, you know, I don't know if I would be in my spot in my career without those early days of networking. And I don't mean just networking, going to a networking event. I mean like in the office networking, talking to everyone, getting to know everyone, learning about what they do for their job. People have had, you know, you have an internship, but that's nothing compared to once you're an actual employee there full time every single day. So I wonder what they're missing. Is that going to hurt them down the line, or is it a non-issue because it's just a different time?
That's a tough question, because so I'm used to managing people face to face, and I know in the beginning of lockdown, you know, when we were still all in the same sort of venue, just Zoom, right? We weren't all sitting in the same room, but we were all there together. It was not hybrid. When we went to hybrid, it was so easy to forget that person who was remote, right? We're having meetings. It's like, oh no, did so-and-so bring a laptop? So, you know, we can Zoom, you know, John in or something. I think that it depends on the culture where the person's working. So that's something that I've been very, very mindful of as we move forward with more remote workers, is how we function in a hybrid mode, and how we keep those people, you know, part of the day-to-day.
Yeah, for those of us managers, directors, VPs, CEOs, whatever, talk to your Gen Zers. They're going to need the nurturement just like we got. And they might not know how to, although now it sounds like they do know how to ask for it, but maybe they don't, you know, maybe they're not asking the right question. Help them. My gosh, help them. Because I do fear that there are things that they're going to miss out. Hopefully with this return now, it does seem like there's some, you know, with hybrid and getting back to some in person, hopefully that will, these were just a, this was all just a dream these past 2 years. Wouldn't that be nice? So shifting gears a little bit, maybe you could share with us just like from your own experience, you know, working with a Gen Z employee, maybe sharing like a particular success you've had, and then maybe where you've struggled.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, gosh, a success. I would say this would be a success for me if I was a life coach, a career coach, right? So my Gen Zers will come to me to ask for references. Will I be a reference for a different job somewhere else? And it's like, how did that happen? It's like, well, you're always so supportive and you're always pushing me to grow and I'm, you know, always sending articles about being brave, asking questions, you know, that whole thing, like reinforcing their beliefs. And it's like, you know, you have to go out and look for opportunity. It's not going to come and find you. Sometimes it does, but most of the time you have to find it. And just having those coaching sessions with my team members, you know, they will come to me and say, Jen, I got an offer from someone. What do I do? It's like, all right, let's sit down and talk through it. Let's figure out what you want to do. I don't want you to go, but I want you to be successful. So, you know, that happens. And unfortunately, we have to move on when they leave. But, you know, that's a great thing for them because they'll pass that on to people who work for them down the road, right? They'll help them grow. You know, somewhere where we fail, I can think during the pandemic, just not being able to have that. I like to walk around and see everybody in the office in the morning. It's one of my things. Everybody's like, so how long have you really been here? Because you're just getting to your office. Stopping and, you know, waving, hello, how's everything? How's this going? How's, you know, finding out about their family. That's important to me. And I think that connection is important to them. And I think those are things that were lacking during lockdown that people missed. And I may have lost some people during that time, hopefully gained them back when we got back together. But I just think that people suffered during that time. And being the Gen Xer that I, you know, worked myself to death, and I feel responsible for that. I try to be mindful. I try to create a culture where everybody feels like I'm not just listening to them, but I'm hearing what they're saying and I'm hearing what they want to do and guiding them in ways to get there.
You sound like a Gen Zer.
Yeah, I was born in the wrong era. But I think it's from being in higher education for so long, being around the different students and really being like, we just had our commencement. And it's just that proud moment to see, you know, all of these people, all the work they've done and just, you know, on the cusp of the next opportunity and how exciting that is.
Yes. The one thing that we really try to install in my own daughter is kindness. My goodness.
Be kind.
Yes. Kindness. Okay. So we're Jen, thank you so much. I really have enjoyed, you know, having this conversation with you about Gen Z and generations, and I hope you'll come back. I think we have more work to do on this. I think there's a lot that we can get into when it comes to the generations, not just Gen Z. We kind of touched on some, give a little glimpse of some of the other things that we could talk on. There's so much to say about generations, so I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. This was fun.
Before we go, though, I don't let my guests off the hook that easy. I always ask a closing question. We don't give this to you in advance. Maybe we should, because sometimes I feel like we get you a little. We don't ask too many gotcha questions, just one. So what's one question you wished I'd ask you, and how would you have answered it?
Oh, wow. One question. So I have this question that I always ask in job interviews of candidates. And it's sort of a geeky IT question, I think, my spin on it. But I ask, if you could be a superhero, which one would you be and why? And honestly, I would want to be Wonder Woman because she's got the truth lasso, right? So no one could lie to me. And she's got those reflector cuffs and an invisible jet. How cool is that? I could get everywhere I wanted to super quick.
That's pretty cool. That's a good one. Yeah. I don't know who mine would be.
Do you want to hear the worst answer I ever got?
Yeah. What's the worst answer? Oh, I love this. Yes.
The worst answer I ever got, Fred Flintstone. And I was like, Fred Flintstone's not a superhero. And you know what their answer was? If anyone can push that car with the whole family in it, including Dino.
Oh my gosh. Did they get the job?
No.
Oh, that's great, Fred Flintstone. Man, what are people thinking? Oh, that was great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, Jen. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jason.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm going to end this episode the same way I always do, encouraging you to check out DevOps Institute to get access to even more great resources just like this one. Let's continue the conversation in the DevOps in the Wild community. That's community.devopsinstitute.com. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, and most of all, stay human. Live long and prosper.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.